First thoughts today for the folks involved in Israel along the Gaza Strip. 600 people have been killed, over 1,000 wounded in this horrible, horrible deed. The Israelis are calling it their 9/11. The Israelis have always been the target of so many things because of their faith and belief. We listen in our first reading today about the man who wanted to plant this vineyard. And he thought to himself, I'm going to build this. And there are key words in there that speak to the fact that he was expecting a huge harvest, because not only does he find choice land, he also finds the best things to plant, but he's also built a watchtower to keep the bad guys away. And he is so presumptuous of his harvest that he's even built a wine press, hewn it out of rock, that wheel could go around and crush the grapes. He's expecting a wonderful harvest. He's put everything in place. It's all right there where it needs to be. And when he gets there, wild grapes. In the original language, it said the grapes stunk. They were that bad. How many times have we gone after a project? Tried making a loaf of bread that turned out more like a brick than a loaf of bread. Or tried to build that birdhouse for the kids that turned out, well, like shabby chic, I think is the term we're using nowadays. Or how many other things did we plan so carefully for and it just not turn out the way we wanted it to? We know this experience. And sometimes we can be dejected, despondent, we can be hurt. But when we look at this first reading, it's almost as if God, who is the actor in this short story, God has created the vineyard. God has given this place to live in. Now, to the Israelites of the day, they would have thought that the vineyard was a temple. And the temple, that holy place that has been built, for people to come and celebrate, receive from its goodness, receive from its bounty, receive graces and blessings for going there. But they don't go. And unlike us, God isn't envious or jealous. He doesn't get mad. I sometimes just imagine him there with his arms crossed going, boy, I wish that had worked out differently. Everything was in place. Why? So what good is it? You've put this thing together. No one appreciates it. No one likes it. No one comes to visit it. It doesn't work. You might as well just take that little birdhouse and toss it right in the fire to keep you warm this evening. It's not good for anything. But you tried. You wanted it to be so correct. Now, we can certainly see the tie between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Isaiah, we hear from the first reading all the time in sacred scripture. It is the most quoted book we use in liturgy than any other book in the Old Testament. And this fifth chapter of Isaiah is just full of rich images that God has given us of his bounty, of his mercy, of his willingness to do things for us that we just don't see, we don't get, we don't cooperate. And that's where the second reading comes in. The people of the day, as Jesus starts to speak this parable, would have immediately clicked. Oh, it's from Isaiah, the story about the vineyard. But Jesus takes a twist on it. Jesus isn't complacent just to tell the story again. He's trying to help them understand that there have been so very many times when the word of God was brought to you, and you, the Israelite people, the chosen people, God's chosen people through the covenant with Abraham, manifest through the journey in the desert into the promised land. And they're not listening. He sends folks to collect the produce. He's a landowner. Look, you can work this section. You can work that section. You're going to give me half the profits or whatever the number is, we'll make an arrangement so that you can make a living off of your work, have a little bit of money maybe to put in the bank. I'll get my part. We both win. But when it comes time to pay, to be held accountable, they refuse. And as we see, three different times, increasing in number, increasing in responsibility to the vineyard owner, the people come to collect. And finally, he sends his son. And this should just be screaming to you in the back of your mind. The son being sent to the vineyard is just like Jesus. It is Jesus being sent by the Father into the vineyard, this place, this time right there for people to hear because they didn't hear the prophets, the Isaiahs, who are telling them exactly what God is asking. And they've got their fingers in their ear. They are more concerned about me and my than thee and thou. Because it's very easy for us to get caught up in the here and now. I worked all day in the sun toiling. I turned the soil. I pulled the weeds. I pruned back the branches. I harvested the grapes. And you want some of this? I don't think so. I did all the work. It's all about me. Well, no. You were given the vineyard to work, given a place to live, given all the opportunity in the world to make this harvest as abundant as possible, that we might share. You would give something back and keep something for yourself. No, it's about me. And how much different is this from 2,000 years ago, from 3,000 years ago in Isaiah, to today? How many of us are given the message and we ignore it? How many of us are willing to say, I am my own God, I don't need you? Fine, you came, you did that whole crucifixion thing, that was nice. But what have you done for me lately? Where do I see you in my life? Because, you know, work is tough. I'm working 60 hours a week or whatever. I'm toiling and digging ditches or whatever. What's in it for me? It's too easy to turn it all on our insides and forget that this body of ours is the vineyard. This body of ours is a gift to us, that we might be able to take advantage of it to do the good, to listen to the word of God, to heed the word of God. Oh, but my body is broken. My body is hurting. My body is ailing. My body is not at 100%. So, you have breath in your lungs. You have a thought in your mind. You can give glory to God. By your example, people will see you. By your example and by your words, by your deeds, by your actions, people see whether or not you are a believer or not. St. Paul has some words for us on that. His first few words are tough. Brothers and sisters, have no anxiety at all. Okay. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. How many of us are nervous about something? The mortgage payment. How much is you going to spend this week in gas? How much are groceries? What about that thing that you do at work? What about that thing you're doing at work with somebody else who isn't pulling their load? And that list goes on and on and on. But God says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, in your prayer and petition, give thanks to God. Oh, great. I have a heart problem. I have type 2 diabetes. I walk with a limp. I can't see straight. And you want me to give praise to God for this heap? Yes. Yes. It's a gift to you. You got that gift from God. Parents, think about that card you got from your kindergartner or your first grader. I'm sure it's up to Hallmark quality. All the words are just right. It conveys just the right meaning. No, you love that card because they put it together for you. I love my mom. It's a gift. And when we receive a gift, we need to do the right thing with it. This gift of life, this gift of ability, this gift that we have given from God, we are to give praise back to God and not ignore all of the good things that come in our life. Because if you're too focused on woe is me, you'll never see the good. You can't. Because you are all tunnel visioned, you're all internal, it's all about you and your woes. Until you look around and find out someone has it worse than you do. Somebody's worse off than you are. You have it made compared to them. But we don't look this way. We forget to give thanks. That's why we come here in this place. Eucharist means thanksgiving. This gift that you are about to receive, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, is a gift to you to make you better. Healing, maybe not in the sense you think of, maybe in a different sense. Maybe it's to fix that problem you didn't even know you had. How about that? We recognize that when we believe, when we trust, when we follow God, when you're willing to see what's in front of you, to smell the coffee, to see the roses bloom, to look at the good things in life. Wow, my commute today was easy to work. Wow, I found a good parking space. Wow, my grocery bill wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be. Wow, an old friend called and said hi. These are all blessings. These are all gifts. But if you're too inward turned, you're never going to see them. You're never going to appreciate the gifts you're being given. Those gifts from the Holy Spirit. Those gifts that help remind us of how graced and blessed we are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, modesty, generosity, chastity. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are ever evident in our lives if you're looking for them. But if you're just looking for the what about me, well, then there's a story about you in today's gospel. You might not be killing the messenger in a physical or literal form, but you're doing the same thing. The goodness is trying to be delivered to you. The grace is trying to be outpoured on you. And I've always envisioned grace like water, right? The waterfall. You can go up with a thimble. You can go up with a pail. God doesn't mind if you back a tanker truck up and get all the grace you need. But too many of us grab an umbrella. Put it up. I don't want any of that. I'm fine. I'm all good on my own. I don't need God. No. Because then we start to fall into vices. We start to fall into those horrible things. All those seven deadly sins. Lust, greed, envy, you know them. We need to stay away from those because those are not godlike. God wants to bestow upon you grace and blessings and mercy. All we have to do is cooperate. Sometimes it's easier to fight, though. I don't want that. What have I got to do for that? Nothing. Just love God. Love God as you love yourself. Love God and we'll be willing to put up with some difficulties along the way because no one said it was going to be easy. Nowhere in the Bible does it say this road is easy. The yellow brick road had all kinds of pitfalls along the way. At least we don't have to deal with flying monkeys every day. Although I don't know where you work. Are you willing to see the good in your life? Are you willing to see God at work in your life? Are you willing to go out there and say, you know what? I am blessed. I have been given gifts by God. And how am I going to put them into use? How am I going to be the person He wants me to be? How am I going to be the disciple I am called to be? How am I going to use my gifts as a steward of this body and the things that I have to give back and give greater glory to God? Those stewardship models of prayer, service, generosity. Those three pillars that give us a guideline of what it is we can do, how we can do it, how we can blossom in the vineyard, and then know that we will bear much fruit. I call us to think about this. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, be at peace with God. Whatever is true and honorable, just and pure, lovely and gracious, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So that's your homework assignment for this week. Think about these things in your life. Where is the purity? Where is the excellence? Where is the just? What's lovely? What's true? And how are you going to react? Are you going to stand there with your pail ready to receive all the grace that God wants to give you? Or are you walking around with a beach umbrella making sure you don't get wet? Your call. How will you be honorable? How will you be just? How will you be generous? So not only in the collection today will you be generous, but you're going to take yourself across the parking lot and you're going to go over to Fall Fest and you're going to have a wonderful lunch brought to you by the Knights of Columbus. You're going to play a couple of little games and you're going to help support the school. Another homework assignment. As you're thinking about what is good and just and honorable, these 650 children that are enrolled in our school who could use just a little extra help to make sure that the gifts we provide them in their everyday work are truly fruits of the Holy Spirit, that they can see the truth, the beauty, and the goodness in the education they're receiving. Give it some thought. Go on the My Parish app, pull up today's readings again, look at these traits from Paul's letter to the Philippians, and ask yourself, am I living up to be the person God wants me to be? Am I looking for these wonderful traits? And am I ready to receive the grace that God wants to give me?